Today is the 21st day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back. Welcome back around the global campfire as we gather in our safe oasis today. Place of safety, a place of repair, a place where we can be open. Yeah, a place where we're just letting the Bible speak for itself. And let's let that happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, verse 11 today. He made a bronze altar, 30 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 15 feet high. He also made the big bronze basin called the Sea. It measured 15 feet from rim to rim, was circular in shape and stood 7.5 feet high. Its circumference was 45 feet. Images of bulls were under it all the way around, 10 every 18 inches, all the way around. The bulls were in two rows and had been cast with the Sea. The Sea stood on top of 12 bulls, 3 faced northward, 3 westward, 3 southward, and 3 eastward. The Sea was placed on top of them, and they all faced outward. It was 4 fingers thick, and its rim was like that of a cup shaped like a lily blossom. It could hold 18,000 gallons. He made 10 washing basins. He put 5 on the south side and 5 on the north side. In them they rinsed the items used for burnt sacrifices. The priest washed in the Sea. He made 10 gold lampstands according to specifications and put them in the temple, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. He made 10 tables and set them in the temple, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. He also made 100 gold bowls. He made the courtyard of the priests and the large enclosure and its doors. He plated their doors with bronze. He put the Sea on the south side in the southeast corner. Huramabi made the pots, shovels, and bowls. He finished all the work on God's temple he had been assigned by King Solomon. He made the 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped tops of the pillars, the lattice work for the bowl-shaped tops of the 2 pillars, the 400 pomegranate-shaped ornaments for the lattice work of the 2 pillars. Each lattice work had 2 rows of these ornaments at the bowl-shaped top of the pillar. The 10 movable stands with their 10 basins, the big bronze basin called the Sea with its 12 bowls underneath, and the pots, shovels, and meat forks. All the items King Solomon assigned Huramabi to make for the Lord's temple were made from polished bronze. The king had them cast in earth foundries in the region of the Jordan between Sukkot and Zarethan. Solomon made so many of these items, they did not weigh the bronze. Solomon also made these items for God's temple: the gold altar, the tables on which the bread of the presence was kept, the pure gold lampstands and their lamps which burned as specified at the entrance to the inner sanctuary, the pure gold flower-shaped ornaments, lamps, and tongs, the pure gold trimming shears, basins, pans, and censers, and the gold door sockets for the inner sanctuary, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. When Solomon had finished constructing the Lord's temple, he put the holy items that belonged to his father David, the silver, gold, and all the other articles, in the treasuries of God's temple. Then Solomon convened Israel's elders, all the leaders of the Israelite tribes and families in Jerusalem, so they could witness the transferal of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, that is Zion. All the men of Israel assembled before the king during the festival in the 7th month. When all Israel's elders had arrived, the Levites lifted the Ark. The priests and Levites carried the Ark, the tent where God appeared to his people, and all the holy items in the tent. Now King Solomon and all the Israelites who had assembled with him went on ahead of the ark and sacrificed more sheep and cattle than could be counted or numbered. The priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its assigned place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, in the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim's wings extended over the place where the ark sat. The cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles were so long, their ends extending out from the ark were visible in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from beyond that point. They have remained there to this very day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets Moses had placed there in Horeb. It was there that the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after he brought them out of the land of Egypt. The priests left the holy place. All the priests who participated had consecrated themselves, no matter which division they represented. All the Levites, who were musicians, including Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives, wore linen. They played cymbals and stringed instruments as they stood east of the altar. They were accompanied by 120 priests who blew trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians played together, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they loudly praised the Lord, singing, "Certainly, he is good. Certainly, his loyal love endures." Then a cloud filled the Lord's temple. The priests could not carry out their duties because of the cloud. The Lord's splendor filled God's temple. And Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he lives in thick darkness. O Lord, I have built a lofty temple for you, a place where you can live permanently." Then the king turned around and pronounced a blessing over the whole Israelite assembly as they stood there. He said, "The Lord God of Israel is worthy of praise because he has fulfilled what he promised my father David. He told David, 'Since the day I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have not chosen a city from all the tribes of Israel to build a temple in which to live. Nor did I choose a man as leader of my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as a place to live, and I have chosen David to lead my people Israel. Now my father David had a strong desire to build a temple to honor the Lord God of Israel. The Lord told my father David, 'It is right for you to have a strong desire to build a temple to honor me, but you will not build the temple. Your very own son will build the temple for my honor. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have taken my father David's place and have occupied the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. I have built this temple for the honor of the Lord God of Israel, and set up in it a place for the ark containing the covenant the Lord made with the Israelites.'" Romans 7, 1 through 13. Or do you not know, brothers and sisters? For I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is Lord over a person as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of the marriage. So then, if she is joined to another man while her husband is alive, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she is joined to another man, she is not an adulteress. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you could be joined to another, to the one who was raised from the dead, to bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, The sinful desires aroused by the law were active in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law because we have died to what controlled us, so that we may serve in the new life of the Spirit and not under the old written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. Certainly, I would not have known sin except through the law. For indeed, I would not have known what it means to desire something belonging to someone else if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of wrong desires. For apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was once alive apart from the law. But with the coming of the commandment, sin became alive, and I died. So I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it I died. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? Absolutely not. But sin, so that it would be shown to be sin, produced death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Lord, consider my just cause. Pay attention to my cry for help. Listen to the prayer I sincerely offer. Make a just decision on my behalf. Decide what is right. You have scrutinized my inner motives. You have examined me during the night. You have carefully evaluated me, but you find no sin. I am determined I will say nothing sinful. As for the actions of people, just as you have commanded, I have not followed in the footsteps of violent men. I carefully obey your commands. I do not deviate from them. I call to you because you will answer me, O God. Listen to me. Hear what I say. Accomplish awesome, faithful deeds, you who powerfully deliver those who look to you for protection from their enemies. Protect me as you would protect the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from the wicked men who attack me, my enemies who crowd around me for the kill. They are calloused. They speak arrogantly. They attack me. Now they surround me. They intend to throw me to the ground. He is like a lion that wants to tear its prey to bits. Like a young lion crouching in hidden places. Rise up, Lord. Confront him. Knock him down. Use your sword to rescue me from the wicked man. Lord, use your power to deliver me from these murderers, from the murderers of this world. They enjoy prosperity. You overwhelm them with the riches they desire. They have many children and leave their wealth to their offspring. As for me, because I am innocent, I will see your face. When I awake, you will reveal yourself to me. Proverbs 19:22 and 23. what is desirable for a person is to show loyal love. And a poor person is better than a liar. Fearing the Lord leads to life, and one who does so will live satisfied. He will not be afflicted by calamity. Okay, so in Romans today, we're building out the argument, right? We're laying out the thesis, or Paul is, before us, and we're expanding it and understanding it as he lays it out. And so Paul is expanding his explanation of the law and its scope. And we remember Paul is an educated Pharisee. So he's kind of in his wheelhouse, at least in terms of how he was raised to believe. So he told us that the law applies only to a living human being. And then he illustrated this with an example we can understand today just as well as they could back then. The example was marriage. Paul says, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. Right? So like we understand that covenant and that license, right? We understand that. Paul goes on, but if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. Right? The rules and laws of marriage have ended because of his death. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery if she remarries. So what is Paul's point here? You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. So for a Hebrew believer who had grown up under the weight of the law, this is a revolutionary concept. But it hits all the way to the bedrock of their faith. But that was the argument that Paul was trying to make all along so far. The bedrock of the law should have actually been the bedrock of faith to begin with, as it was for Abraham. So this kind of teaching would have immediately put Paul like on the radar, because it would have seemed as if he were renouncing God's law. And so to just grapple with the idea, Paul said, and I quote, "Am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. Absolutely not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin." Paul explained that the law was holy, but its purpose was to expose the sinful desires of the heart. And as an example, he explained that he would have never understood that coveting was wrong if there were no law to tell him that it was wrong. The law exposes sin, and sin leads to death. On the other hand, Paul's saying Jesus fulfilled the law, and so through him, so do we. Sin is not the problem anymore. We're invited to live as the sinless body of Christ in this world. This is like fundamental Christian, 101 theology. But still, typically, we think sin is the problem. Because it's the problem, right? We can't stop sinning any more than the Hebrew people could stop breaking the law. The missing component here, though, is Jesus. On our own, we have no hope of ridding ourselves of sin or sinful behaviors that do damage. In Christ, according to Paul, that issue is settled. Once we surrender our heart to Jesus, we die to everything that would pull us away from God. That is sin. Anything that will pull us away from God. Sin no longer has a hold over us unless we allow it to. Grace and mercy hover over everything about us, and we are daily walking into a newness of life in Christ, free from sin and the repercussions. And this is the struggle, right? I mean, we know our inability. But let's take some time as we continue moving through what Paul is laying out in Romans. Like, from this vantage point, let's take some time to imagine, just imagine what it might be like to not have that dark cloud of shame, right? Sin, of what is hidden, hovering over everything that we do, our fear of all of that. The good news of the gospel is an invitation to let that die and be a new creation. And well, we can see why that is such good news. And so, Father, we can see the total transformation of the human heart. Like, our hearts are transformed. And that transformation changes everything that we do, everything that we see, everything that we say, everything that we think. So it changes how we are in this world, the impact of our lives in this world. It changes our identity into what is true and who we were truly made to be. May we reflect your glory upon the earth as we become more and more aware of these realities. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, as we talk about often. Brand new space that is fleshing out and being built out. Come on in. It's a beautiful place to be around the global campfire. Check out all the different sections. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on. Like the lifestyle section, the Daily Audio Bible writing journal. We worked really hard to get the right paper. All of the Blackwing pencils, like, the tactile nature of writing your words out of your mind, using your body, like, not just clicking. I mean, you can journal however you want to, but actually sharpening a pencil, sitting down, lighting a candle or whatever, and just taking the minutes. You might think you don't have them, but I mean, just 15 minutes or whatever to chronicle what's happening in your day, and where God fits and sits in all of that. We really discover our patterns. We really actually discover ourselves by just watching systematically how we live. Remembering is a human thing. Remembering, though, is a very, 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 very biblical thing. remembering who we are, our identity, where we're going, who God is. These things are fundamental. And writing our own story is, well, journaling through is something that we practice around here. So check out all the different writing utensils and things in the lifestyle section of the Daily Audio Bible Shop. We've got the brand new Blackwing pen. I mean, I'm going to tell my Blackwing story again sometime soon. But I've been a pencil guy. Like the act of sharpening the pencil, the act of writing, like putting the graphite on the paper for a while now, because that really forces some slowing down. And it's remarkable how much more deeply things get processed when they're kind of all engaged in the body. The Blackwing pen came out and I was like, I don't know about that. But I was surprised. Like, it's not the same as my pencil, but it is definitely my go-to pen. It feels familiar and writes familiar. So we have those in stock in the Daily Audio Bible Shop. You can check that out, or any of the other resources that are available. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being around the global campfire is a meaningful place to be, a safe place to be every day for a little while, if that is life-giving to you, thank you for being life-giving. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. As always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello there, Terry from Toledo here, and I just got done with the July 15th podcast on Daily Audio Bible, and two gentlemen called in for prayer. They were really hurting in their identity, and gentlemen, I just want to encourage you to read Romans 8, the whole chapter, every time you feel this way. Romans 8. A couple of the things in Romans 8 that you can take hold of is, I am free from condemnation. That's Romans 8:11. I am free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8:2. I am being made alive by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. Romans 8:11. I am a child of God, Romans 8:16. I am an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus, Romans 8:17. I am confident that all things work together for my good, Romans 8:28. And I know that God is for me and no one can stand against me. That's Romans 8:31. I encourage you to keep those scriptures in your mind. And every time the enemy tries to tell you you are something, you say you are a liar. I am. And you speak those verses over and over and over again until you finally get it in your soul that that is who you are, that your identity is in Christ and you are a new creature. So Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that you give them the tenacity and the foresight to be able to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Terry from Toledo, bye now.
Hi, Dab family. This is God's Life Speaker. I called in earlier, and I've been posting on the prayer wall about Skylar. We just got home from church, and my friend said they got devastating news that in the 72 hours that Skylar had her heart attack at the age of 18, that her brain is failing. So they have called all their family together, and they will be taking next steps. God is still good. God is good. Please pray for my friend Kim, her 5 remaining children. And in the time that Skylar still has breath, maybe God will make a miracle happen. I thank you, Deb.
Hey, Deb family, this is Kristen, aka Christ in Me. I would like to pray for a family that is in extreme trauma. I'm going to call them P. The mother is P, the father is A, and the daughter is M. A is currently in pleaded guilty to assault on the daughter, his stepdaughter. And we'll call her M. And Lord, we just lift up this family to your throne room of grace. This family needs you. They need salvation in you. They need healing. They need healing, heal their minds, their hearts. Lord, send people in their past that would just reveal your truth to them. Reveal your salvation to every family member. That men would come into the path of A, and so that he would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. I pray that you would restore the heart and mind of M, that you would heal her of the trauma. And the whole family, heal the whole family of the trauma that they are experiencing right now, and draw them to you, give them peace and comfort. And we thank you in advance for everything that you're doing, and we just pray this in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen.
Hey, Larry, this is Dean from the great Pacific Northwest, God's country. Larry from the prairies of Iowa, whose wife hit her head on the concrete and got rushed to the ICU. Lord Jesus, we pray. Have mercy on this dear saint. Would you be gracious to her and heal her body? Would you help her so she would live a long life as she's investing in her grandkids and 25 great-grandkids? God, have mercy. Comfort the family. Would you do a redemptive work here, Father? And would you draw everyone around them to you? And would you heal her body? We pray in faith in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Larry.
Hi, my beautiful dabbers. It's Asia calling from the City of Angels. It is July 18th, and I want to lift up some of the dab prayer requests. Larry from the Prairie called in regarding his wife falling and hitting her head and in the hospital with a bad brain bleed, and peace and joy in Michigan regarding her isolation and her sickness. Lord God, we come before your beautiful throne of grace and mercy. You are full of love and faithfulness, Lord God, and you are abundant in mercy and grace. And we come before you because you are our all-seeing, all-knowing God, and you are with us every minute. We are never alone, Lord God. You are by our side every minute of every hour, Lord. And the Holy Spirit is there with us. And we just pray, Father God, that you would heal Larry's wife, Father God, from this brain bleed, that she may continue to have more life and see the goodness of God in the land of the living as she sees her great-grandchildren and her grandchildren thriving. And we just pray that this would be your will, Father God. And we pray for peace and joy in Michigan, Lord. She sounds so isolated. She's been sick over 10 years, Lord. Bring something her way, whether it's some type of ministry online, some type of fellowship group online as well as the Dab family, something local or some way that she can connect with people, Father God. And Lord, we know that you have a plan and your plan is good. And so we will remain faithful, Father God. We say, I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me. We love you, Father. That is Psalm 13, 5 through 6. We also, Father God, we know that the Lord goes before us and he will be with us. He will never leave nor forsake us. Deuteronomy 31, 8. In Jesus' name.
Well, this is the 20th of July, and I've got a praise report and a prayer request. I called in last week about my wife who fell and hit her head on some concrete, and she's up there in age like me, and praise the Lord, she's back home with us now and feeling real good. She had a bad brain bleed and she was in ICU for 4 days, but she's home now and praise the Lord. And now my request is, now I've got to go get a PET scan. They think I've got some kind of cancer or something, I guess. So this is Larry out here on the prairie of Iowa. Keep me all in your prayers. Today's the day I go get that PET scan. Thanks a lot.